Sister God, let's now turn our attention to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 17, which is found on page 28. Which is found on page 28. And we're at the section of the Apostles' Creed where it talks about his resurrection. And we'll go into his ascension, but our focus today will be on question 45. For our summary. All right, please respond to the questions of Lord's Day 17. What benefit do we receive from the resurrection of Christ? First, by his resurrection, he has overcome death that he might make us partakers of the righteousness which he has obtained for us by his death. Second, by his power, we are also now raised up to a new life. Third, the resurrection of Christ is a sure pledge of our blessed resurrection. What do you understand by the words he ascended into heaven? I'm dead. But is not Christ with us even unto the end of the world, as he has promised? Christ is the true man and true God. According to his human nature, he is now not on earth, but according to his Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit. He is at no time absent from us. But are not in this way the two natures in Christ separated from one another if the manhood is not whatever the Godhead is? If the manhood is not wherever the Godhead is? Not at all. For since the Godhead is incomprehensible and everywhere present, it must follow that the same is not limited with the human nature, personally united to it. And so our focus will be on the resurrection, the benefits of Christ's resurrection. Christ was resurrected over 2,000 years ago. Why is it still benefit to us today? Why is it still our hope today? Well, this three-part answer, the three reasons, or the three benefits, really, of the resurrection is grounded in Romans 6 and 1 Corinthians 15. The first two are, I think, more so Romans 6, or Romans 4 through 6. The first one saying, what's the first benefit? It's the righteousness of Christ obtained for us. So it's important that when we understand the gospel, it's not just his death, but it's his life. Right? It's not what Christ takes away from us, it's what Christ also gives us. Right? So he was not just a perfect martyr on the cross, but the resurrection proves his life was perfectly righteous. Right? Because Christ could not be held in the grave because what put him in the grave was our sin. It wasn't his sin. Right? As Paul says, he who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. But specifically in regards to his resurrection, the fact that he was risen on the third day is full proof that his righteousness has been obtained for us by faith. This is Paul's argument in Romans. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Right, justification is that big word that talks about our right standing with God. That one day when we stand before God's face, before his holiness, what makes you right with him? And that's what we talk about in regards to our justification. And Christ's resurrection grounds our justification. It confirms it. It gives it a foundation because it's dependent upon his righteousness, and his resurrection proves that. So that's the first benefit. Second is that our new life begins. Our new life begins. Because Christ was raised from the dead, we can now be made new. We can now be born again. Because without the resurrection, if Christ just died, all we have is a really good human being that we can follow as our example, as a moral teacher. That's all we have. If Christ remained in the grave. But his resurrection also is what was needed, is what was needed in order for us to have new life, in order for us to be born again. And Paul makes this argument in Romans as well. He says, just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Sins are put to death so that we can live and walk in newness of life. So there is a correlation. Christ's life means that we too live. We have a new life. We walk in this newness of life. And that's why Paul later on says in Romans 6 to put sin to death. Consider yourselves dead to sin. He makes that very bold statement there in Romans 6. Consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive in God, alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we cannot miss this. Right? It's not as though we need grace to come to Christ, and then as we live on, we kind of lean on our own strength. No, it's grace from beginning to end. Right? So Paul says that we are alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our obedience comes from knowing that we are united to Christ. His righteousness is enough. It's not as though we need to have our own obedience to be righteous enough. No, Christ's righteousness is enough, and that's what the resurrection also proves. So in light of this, live like a free man. Live like a free man. You are free to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The dominion of sin no longer is over you. It's no longer shackling you. It's no longer hindering you. Because you are a free man. And now that we can live for Christ, we have the freedom to live for Christ, when Christ gives us his commands, those aren't burdensome to us. They're a delight to us. Because we understand that it's his righteousness that makes us righteous. It's not our obedience. And lastly, the third benefit. The Catechism says that the resurrection of Christ is a sure pledge. It's a guarantee, if I can put it that way. Is there anything in your life that's a sure pledge? I mean, how much of your life right now that you can have such uncertainty, such certainty, and not have any uncertainty? Right, not a lot. But Jesus says in John 14, because I live, you too shall live. Because I live, you too shall live. That's the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. This may be a little bit of a silly example, but the chairs that you are sitting on right now, is there any thought come into your mind whether the chair that is holding you up right now is going to keep holding you up? I can almost guarantee you that there wasn't even one thought since the service began. Maybe right now, but since I brought it up. But you have that sure confidence in something as simple as the chair you're sitting on to keep holding you up. Well, how much more should we have confidence in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ to guarantee that we too will be resurrected? Every member that passes on to glory has and knows that sure guarantee. And you all know who I'm talking about. She knows that sure pledge. That sure guarantee. And that is to all who belong to Christ. To all who place their faith in Him. That because He lives, you too will live. Amen.